There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
An angel clad in white they see, who sits and speaks unto the three. Your Lord will go to Galilee. Alleluia.
That is the word of the angel that's spoken there at the empty tomb, saying that Jesus goes before them into Galilee. Now, some of the gospel writers in their resurrection accounts get them to Galilee, and some of them don't. But John does in John 21, not only to Galilee, but right there to the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where the resurrected Christ appears. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus appearing there in Galilee in John chapter 21. Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Is there a parallel here between Jesus appearing, raised from the dead, to his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus appearing to those disciples when he first called them at the Sea of Galilee?
I think it's a very important parallel. The earlier one is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This one is John 21, 1 to 14. And there's two verses, one from each passage, that shows how important, even though the events seem to be similar, Jesus telling the disciples to launch out into the deep and put down their nets, and they pull up a whole bunch of fish, a great number of fish. In Luke 5, their net was breaking. And in John 21, they even count the fish, 153. But what are the two important verses? In Luke 5, after the boats are filled with the fish, verse 8 says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" In contrast to that response, in John 21, when he recognizes that Jesus is on the shore, it says, after John tells Peter, "It is the Lord," now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And of course, he was swimming to Jesus. In Luke 5, he is telling Jesus to depart. In John 21, he is rushing to Jesus. What is the difference? I believe it's a law and gospel difference. In Luke 5, Peter is very much like Isaiah was. In Isaiah, in the very first chapters where he sees the vision of God, "Oh, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I have seen the Lord. I am a man of unclean lips." He expects to die, because to see God and live just didn't occur. But then the angel goes to the altar, takes a burning coal, touches Isaiah's lips, and all of a sudden his sins are forgiven according to the word of the angel. Remember, John 21, occurs after the resurrection, when Jesus had appeared to the disciples, and Simon Peter was one of them, and the very first word Jesus says is, "Peace be with you." So, if I were teaching this in Sunday school, I would bring in the Luke 5 and say, you know, this is our attitude when we realize that we are sinners and we have no protection from God. But John 21, we realize we are sinners, but we know that Jesus is protecting us because he has paid for our sins. And therefore, we are able to come into his presence. And for the children, I would say that means you can pray to Jesus directly. You don't have to go through the pastor, but you're able to say even the Lord's Prayer, which I would hope that the parents are teaching the children. So I see a tremendous difference between Luke 5 and John 21. Both are about a miraculous catch of fish, but the response of Simon Peter in Luke 5 shows he's living under the law, whereas his response in John 21 indicates that he has believed the promise that he is at peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for him.
John describes this account by saying that Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. In fact, he says it twice there in the first verse of John 21. What is he trying to tell us rather than saying he just kind of appeared to his disciples, saying he revealed himself?
It's kind of the same language, believe it or not, that he uses at the wedding of Canaan. Now, the wedding of Canaan is also in the Gospel of John. And we all remember where Jesus changed water into wine. But listen to verse 11, where it says, "This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested or revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Similarly, here Jesus is manifesting or revealing his glory, which would really refer to his divinity. But without getting into a big discussion on the communication of attributes, this also shows, like you had asked me last week, what's the difference in Jesus' body on the night of the resurrection, where he can go through the doors and the windows? So also here, Jesus, one can say, in both his humanity and divinity, command that the fish go into the nets, and they get a huge catch of fish. Already they had counted it, the 153. So he therefore manifested or revealed who he truly was. And that, remember, when Thomas recognized that, he was the first disciple to refer to Jesus as God, my Lord and my God.
So Jesus is there, and he comes upon his disciples while they've decided essentially to go back to work. Simon Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the rest of them say, "Okay, I guess we will too." They're returning, in effect, to their vocations that they had lived in before Jesus had called them some years before. And then they find themselves out there having caught nothing. Pick up the story there, if you would, Tom.
Yes. As the day was breaking, and that's kind of important, I'll tell that why in a moment, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. It could be that they were maybe about 100 yards away, the day was just breaking, and maybe they did not recognize him. However, we need to remember that there were two former occasions when individuals did not recognize Jesus. Mary at the tomb thought he was the gardener, and then the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until he broke bread. So whether or not it was due to weather conditions they couldn't recognize him, or whether he was, as with the other situations, hiding himself from them, he calls out to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" Now, the term "children" there would be kind of a colloquial, if I was talking to a group of other pastors, hey, guys, what are you doing tonight? That kind of language. And then they said, no. And he said to them much what he had said in Luke chapter 5, let down the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Well, that's what they did. Even though they had toiled all night, as in Luke 5, and had caught nothing. And then when they did that, it says they weren't even able to haul in the net because of the quantity of fish. And it was at that point, now, John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved, these are seven of the 11 disciples that are left, and they name them except for two other of his disciples. We presume that one of them is John, because that's how he often refers to himself in his gospel, whom Jesus loved. That was John. And he says to Peter, it is the Lord. And at that point, Simon Peter dresses appropriately, jumps into the sea, and the other disciples come in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not that far off. In fact, it even says they were about 100 yards off in our measurements today. And when they got there, wow, there was a charcoal fire in place, fish already laid on it, and bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. And they did, and come and have breakfast. Now, it says none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because it says they knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus does something he did on the Emmaus disciples. He came, took the bread, probably broke it, gave it to them, so with the fish. And it kind of reminds us not only of the feeding of the 5,000, but of course the Holy Supper of the Lord. And it ends with saying this is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So there's a lot that the teachers can do with this to show that Jesus, even in his resurrected state, was continuing to do the miracles, and that it was therefore a resurrected state of the divine and the human nature together. For the older kids, that would be important to know. And that Jesus, therefore, and this is the important point, these were all disciples that had fled from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But though we often forsake him, the Bible is very clear, because he is a God of mercy and grace, he will not forsake us.
Pastor Tom Baker's our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus appearing in Galilee to his disciples in John chapter 21. So there he is. They know it is him. Then the story goes on. We hear a little bit more about how Jesus deals with Peter. We'll talk about that after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville.
You're listening to Issues Etc.
The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press, with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus appearing to his disciples in Galilee in John chapter 21. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Had a conversation with a regular listener on Sunday. She was telling me about how her mother-in-law was brought to faith, a lifelong atheist brought to faith, because she sat in the nursing home with her and prepared her Sunday school lessons from the Growing in Christ curriculum. Eventually, her mother-in-law had heard enough, had heard what this Sunday school curriculum delivers every Sunday to Sunday school children of all ages, and that is Christ and his saving work. And that word brought her to faith, baptized, made a member of the church before she passed away. That's the value of a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for people of literally all ages. Growing in Christ is that kind of a Sunday school curriculum. You can find out more about Growing in Christ. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. They will send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, we just have a little kind of a denouement at the end here of Peter and Jesus walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. What should we make of this interchange between Jesus and Simon Peter? We got a couple minutes here.
What Jesus is doing here is bringing Peter back in as a proper apostle, asking him, do you love me more than these? And Simon Peter says, yes, you know I love you. Said to him a second time, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then the third time, each time he would say, like the first time was, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then finally feed my sheep. Now, what I find a little interesting, although not all pastors and professors agree with me, when Jesus asked Peter the first two times, do you love me, he uses the word agape, which is the word used in John 3:16, talking about the sacrificial love that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Now, each time, Peter responds with phileo, which is the love of a brother, brotherly love, where we get the Philadelphia town, the city of brotherly love. And the last time Jesus does ask him, do you phileo me, not agape? And Peter is grieved because he said that. And he says, Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you, and feed my sheep. Now, the reason I find that very comforting is my love to Jesus or to others is not at the level of agape. It's only at maybe sometimes the level of phileo because of our relationship to one another in the church or to our family or this sort of thing. But Jesus still assigns Peter the position of apostle and myself the position of pastor, even though our love doesn't come anywhere near the love that God has for you and me. And so I really like those three questions, although some others would say that I am not correct, that the different words for love really mean anything, because in that context, they probably were just synonyms one for another. But at any rate, I have been comforted by them, and therefore we'll have to wait till heaven to see who's got the right interpretation.
With about 30 seconds, the long gospel of this for the Sunday school children.
The children have denied Jesus many a time, as did Peter. The gospel is, though we deny Jesus, he will never deny us or forsake us. And I think that's a wonderful message, that God's love toward us is infinitely greater than our love toward him or to others. And that's why we are comforted by the gospel of the forgiveness of sins.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We will post a link to Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
You will notice that every time the Savior appears after his resurrection, he does the same thing. He forgives his disciples. That's why he's done everything he's done, including dying and rising again, to give us forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EMMANUEL Press.us.